We're in a series on Daniel. Last week was chapter 1, where we saw God was in control. And this week, in Daniel chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 23. That theme will continue, but it will be up, up the ante as it pertains to God's grace to Daniel and his buddies. So you'll see as we work through it. It says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show you its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Let's pray. Father, as we open up Daniel this morning, we ask that by your grace you would show us what it is we need to see. We ask that your spirit would come and lift the text off the page and apply it to our hearts. In all the individual situations that we walk in here with, whatever we need, we ask you, God of heaven, to show up and give the answer. We ask it in Jesus' name and in his glory. Amen. In life, we need help. In life, you need help. In life, I need help. My daughter was about 3, and we got a new dresser for her. In fact, it was actually her first dresser. She had accumulated, as a young 3-year-old girl, enough clothes where a dresser was needed. And so we ordered it online, Wayfair or whatever, and it came in a box. And on the top of the box as I opened it was a set of instructions. And what I did is I looked at that, looked at the box, and chucked the instructions. Because it looked pretty simple to me. It wasn't very elaborate. It had front and back and sides and drawers. It was a dresser. And so I put it together, and as I put in the bottom drawer of the four, I noticed that it didn't go in all the way. And then I picked up the instructions. And I noticed that what I had done is I didn't notice it, but it was that bottom rail that went across the bottom was offset, the holes were not in the middle of the side. So I flipped it over on accident, and it was actually longer on that side. So when you put the drawer in, it hit the thing, and So I had to make the dresser twice. Because that was like the third or fourth piece, it turns out, in the set of instructions. Oh, goody, goody me. In life, we need instruction. In life, we need help. And here's the great encouragement. God is here in order to offer said help. Because our problem largely is, I can handle it. I can get my own life, thank you very much, the life that I've decided for myself. I can work it out in my own way. I don't need these instructions. And time again, we have found as God puts us in situations where we in fact need the instructions that he is there to give them. Like a good dad who actually enjoys helping his kids figure out what they can't understand, your God, my God in heaven, is there waiting if we would simply turn and ask, God, I need your help. But you ask, okay, so what does that exactly look like? What does it look like for a man or woman to seek God's help? Daniel chapter 2 is going to help us. And there's three truths as we walk through this story and we see how Daniel and his three buddies again respond to a pretty horrific command of the king. Here's what we're going to find out, that if you and I are going to seek God's help, not try and figure it out on our own, chucking the instructions along the way. Here are the three. God alone gives answers. God alone we should seek. And God alone we should worship. That God alone gives the answers. I sat there on the floor, frustrated with this stupid dresser from that Swedish company that shall remain nameless, IKEA. They got me again. When they were right there the whole time. God alone will give you the answers you seek. Therefore, it makes sense, as we'll see Daniel and his three buddies, he alone should be the one we seek. And if we do those two steps, God alone will worship. So grab your Bibles and we'll see how God alone gives the answers. Verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Now, most often in 2017 America, we don't give a lot of credence to our dreams. We don't wake up the next morning after having some weirdo dream and be like, oh, God totally spoke to me. That generally does not happen. But realize in this case and in this time, dreams, it seems, was one of the means by which God spoke to people. And as we'll see, God leverages this on purpose. It's not like Nebuchadnezzar had a bad night and just couldn't sleep. God was talking to him. And this is what happened. Then the king commanded that the magicians, enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, all basically synonyms of the same thing, think magician, think court jester type of guy, be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I had a dream. My spirit's troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb. Now, I don't know how your work week was last week, but I doubt your boss said, I'm killing you. right? Like, you didn't come home to your wife and be like, oh, just so you know, my boss said he's going to kill me, literally. But it gets better or worse. And your houses shall be laid in ruins. So Nebuchadnezzar goes mafia on everybody. He goes, not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to kill your whole family. You have to say it that way, like you're in mafia. Like, how do you think that felt going home that night? Okay. Conversation goes on. But if you show the... if you show the dream and its interpretation, hey, I'm a good, it's good mafia talk. If you do well, you're going to receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will show its interpretation. And don't you just love what the king is going to say next? Basically, I know you dudes are stalling for time. Like, just like every good dad knows when his kids are stalling for time. I told you to do that. You didn't do it. And now you're stalling for time. The king answered and said, I know with certainty you are trying to gain time because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change, before I change my mind, is what he says. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. Now, verses 10 and 11 give us the answer of the beginning of the chapter. Because out of the mouths of these sorcerers will come truth. Because they can't give the answer, and they know it. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demands. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. I love that the Chaldeans, these sorcerers, are straight up with the king. We can't do it. In fact, ain't no one able to do it. But verse 11. The thing that the king asks is difficult, more like impossible. And no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. The point, no one can give you the answer except God. Why? Because God alone gives the answers. Now, these guys, they don't believe in Yahweh. They don't believe the God of the Bible. They're sorcerers and magicians from present-day Iran, and they don't know him. And so they use, you notice in your Bible, small g gods. Hey, only the gods can tell you. They don't know the one true God who actually can. And so what they do is they represent essentially all culture for all time, which means if you need an answer, you have two choices. I can go to culture to get the answer, or I can go to God to get the answer. And notice from Daniel chapter 2, culture doesn't know. You need an answer? Culture doesn't know. And just to make this point as crystal clear as I can, please, we'll poll the audience. Has anyone ever had a tough time sleeping because they had a lot on their mind? Just please, is this a common occurrence? Please, we're all friends here. Pull up your list so everyone can see. Have you ever had a hard time sleeping because you had a lot on your mind? Okay, question, where are you going to go to get that answer? Please do not go to Oprah. Let me show you.
When we told you Eckhart would be coming on Super Soul Sunday, we heard the collective digital cheer online. You told us you had questions for Eckhart, and he happily agreed to take a few. Laura, one of our Facebook followers, wanted to know how to calm the voice in her head. She writes, I feel like my mind is racing at enormous speed, and at night it's even worse. How can I stop the constant stream of consciousness in my mind?
Good question.
Thanks, Laura.
Many people will be thankful for that question.
Yes.
So, first of all, the question implies that you know that your mind won't stop.
Yes.
If you are totally immersed, you're so identified with your mind, even the thought that your mind won't stop doesn't even occur to you because you become your mind.
Yeah, you don't know that it is your mind that won't stop.
Yes.
So Laura, that's your head of the game.
Okay.
The fact that Laura knows that her mind won't stop is a good thing.
It's a good start. So when you hear the thought, why can't I stop my mind? Don't believe it, because you can stop your mind. How? You can choose to take your attention away from thinking, and the first thing you do as you lie there in bed, you ask yourself, can I feel the energy inside my hands?
Yeah.
In other words, can I feel that my hands are there without touching anything? Can I feel that there's an energy inside my hands? And after a little while, most people can.
Daniel chapter 2, the king says, I want you to give me an answer. He knows the magicians and sorcerers are going to give him a load of bull excrement, okay? Nothing's changed. Did you hear the man's answer? If you have a tough time sleeping, you have to feel the energy in your hands. That is the best culture can do. That's the best the world can do, and it's utterly nonsense. Look! Are you kidding me? What's God's answer to that question? Well, let's be honest. When you and I have a tough time sleeping because we have a lot on our mind, what do you call that? You just want to call that stress? There's something in my life which is causing me stress. Why do our minds kick up like that? Because I'm trying to figure out a way either to solve it or convince myself that one of the bad things that I'm trying to not think about right now, which is probably going to happen from said thing that I'm trying to not be stressed out about. The answer is not, oh, do you feel the energy in your hands? Are you whacking me? Here's the gospel answer. Take all those words and talk to God about those words. Because he can actually do something about it. This is why Nebuchadnezzar's a smart dude. This is the only answer the sorcerers can give him. God alone has the answers you seek. And the nonsense that the world puts out is just that. It's utter garbage. So here's just some examples, some typical ones that we seek. How do you find joy in life? Like honestly, real joy. Culture can't tell you. God alone gives that answer. Or how about this one? Where does real meaning come from? How do you know your life matters? How do you know that if you get up tomorrow morning, another Monday, that your life matters? Culture can't give you that answer, only God can. How about this one? Do you want to have a better marriage or be better at parenting? Please, oh please, do not go to culture for those answers. Please, God alone gives those answers. I also think it's sad that Oprah has a Super Soul Sunday, and if you didn't catch the Facebook page, guess what time that gets aired online? 10 o'clock Central. How about this one? How to handle your boss, how to handle a difficult relationship, how to handle a situation with a friend. God alone will give you the answer. Or how about this last one? How do I change? Like, honestly, all of us in here have a bucket of stuff that has been eating our lunch for a long, long time. How do we change? Please, please do not look for the energy in your hands. That's the best culture can do. It's utter nonsense. But question, why is that so effective? Why are there hundreds of thousands of people worshiping every Sunday at the church of Oprah? Two answers that I can think of. One, it's easier. It's much easier to be like, oh, I'll just try and think about the energy in my hands. That requires absolutely nothing of me. Okay, I'll try that. Second, and I think this is more accurate to what's going on there, is I stay in control. If I go to culture for the answer, I remain king. If I go to God for the answer, God ends up being king. And that's why we don't want to do it. But God alone says, I mean, they've got it. The Chaldeans, the sorcerers got it. Hey, king, just so you know, only the gods, we know who that really is, can give you the answer you seek. Right now, whatever your trouble is, if we were to have everyone list, okay, the biggest trouble I have right now is blank. God alone has your answer. Therefore, point two, God alone is whom we should seek. Look at verse 12. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar carries out his threats. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Think about it. Just pause for a second. You're at home. There's a knock at the door. You know what the knock means. How do you respond? Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Please see the picture. This dude, Arioch, is not the king's accountant. Right? He's not 5'1", 110, with wire-rimmed glasses. This is Arioch, the UFC champion, captain of the king's guard. This guy does not fool around. When Daniel opens the door, how do you think he feels? What am I going to do? The courage that he has, verse 15, he declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested. He receives Arioch, has a brief conversation, and then Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. I love the display of wisdom and courage by this man. If you and I are going to pray one thing daily, I would just implore us that we be a people who pray for wisdom and courage daily. That for the things that God brings into our life, we respond in a Daniel-like fashion. He doesn't cower. He doesn't run. He doesn't make excuses. What he does is he confronts with wisdom, with prudence, with courage. Verse 17, then Daniel... He starts to seek God directly. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. What do you think their prayer was like? Something like, God, if you do not show up, we are literally dead men. How do you think the fervency of their prayer went? It's not, hey, God, can you help me? I feel a little sick this morning. It's Monday. It is, God, either you show up or we are dead men. So that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then, verse 19, the mystery was revealed to Daniel, in another dream. In a vision of the night. We said a second ago, like if you were to fill out that phrase, like, okay, what is the one thing I need God's answer for right now? You and I are already seeking that answer from somewhere. We already are. We have hardwired ourselves through habit, through pattern, to seek our answer somewhere. And we all do it. And so another illustration in order to explain how we all seek something for the strength we need. I give you one of, really, in my opinion, one of the finest theologians on this topic. Those of you who are my age and older will have grown up with this theologian who actually came into your house week by week, but to introduce it to the younger generation, I just want you to pay attention to what this man seeks in order to handle the trouble that's in front of him. Please watch.
One for Olive, one for Peepeye, Popeye, Poopeye, and one for Pipeye.
But we says we hate spinach.
Hate spinach? You has to eat it to get health, strength, and vitality.
Hamburgers does that and also tastes good.
Is that so? Well, just looks here and I'll explain to you how spinach helped your Uncle Popeye and his pitcher, the Anvil Chorus Coil.
Popeye always seeks spinach. You and I are always going to seek something. Like whatever it is that you and I have on that list of like, okay, God, I need an answer here. You and I are already seeking something. So let's go back to our list. Joy. What culture will say is it's found in getting more life, however you define it. Whether that's more comfort, more material goods. But actually what God will say is you want to find real joy, lay your life down instead of trying to get more. Real meaning is not found in the typical places of bank account, relationship, work, success. But real meaning is found in a person. Marriage is actually not about getting your spouse to serve you. It's about you serving your spouse. That if you really want a great job, it's not about climbing the ladder of success, but working as if Jesus was your boss and his kingdom was your mission. Right now, think of that biggest struggle, that place where you're like, God, if you would really show up, I would really be thankful. Seek him for the answer. And if you do, you'll end up worshiping. So go ahead and go back to verse 19. Because God alone gives the answer, therefore God alone we should seek, and then what will happen is God alone we will worship. So again, verse 19 begins, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed, is what the ESV says. Then Daniel worshiped the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. You're here this morning and you need wisdom on something. God alone has the wisdom you need. You have a situation where you need more power than you currently have. You need God to work things out that you couldn't possibly work out. God alone has that might. Verse 21, he changes times and season. Anybody right now in a time where you would like the season to change? Yep. The God you know changes seasons. A little foreshadowing in the next phrase, he removes kings and sets up kings. We'll see that as we move through Daniel multiple times. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. Is there something in the future that you can't see right now? Is there something you are trying to figure out? Like, okay, well, God, if I go this way, this could happen. If I go this way, this could happen. God is the one who can reveal hidden things, things that you can't see. And he knows what is in the darkness. He knows, going back to those things that when we're trying to sleep at night and the thoughts come and our thoughts always go towards worst case scenarios, God knows what's hidden in the darkness. and the light dwells with him. And then as the as the bubbling bursts over for Daniel in his worship, to you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. We've taken our kids to Disney World a couple times over the years. And what has happened just about every time is they think Disney World, they think Orlando, but they don't think geography. And so what tends to happen is we load them up in the minivan and start heading east, and they're excited until we hit probably about Louisiana. And then they're like, oh, are we there yet? Can't we be there yet? Oh! And there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and struggle. And the kids have a hard time with the drive too. And so what I've noticed, though, is as we get there and we actually arrive and they begin to see, like, oh, the banner above the entrance, and you go and you park, and then there's the tram thing, and you go up to the gate and you get in, and you finally you enter in that Disney world. It's like another world. The kids don't thank Mickey for getting them there. They don't go, and they may hug Minnie or Goofy, but they're not thanking them for being there for them. What they do all the time is they turn and they thank Mom and Dad. Well, I take that back. After we prod them to say thank you, then they thank Mom and Dad, because there was no other way they were going to get there. There was no way they could provide for themselves that experience. And so day by day, you and I go through our lives, and we can't provide one thing for ourselves, although we think we can. We're all essentially on this trip with God at the helm, that he is guiding, that he is leading, that we don't really know where. If you know Jesus, you know ultimately where, and it's better than Disney World. But we get short-tempered, we get frustrated, we don't see it, we wonder what he's doing, and the antidote out of that is worship. Here's how this virtuous cycle is supposed to go. We believe that God alone gives the answer. We, like Daniel, seek him in community with our friends. We see God show up. It ends up rolling up to God in worship and giving him thanks and praise, which confirms in our own hearts that he alone gives the answers. Therefore, the next time it happens, we seek him. He gives the answer. We worship him, and on and on and on it goes. Daniel chapter 2 is your life, if you're willing to take step by step by step with him in it. God alone gives the answer. God alone we should seek, and God alone we should worship. And where we see this most clearly is in the gospel. Because the gospel says this, that you and I need to be reconciled to God. The problem is, he's holy, we're sinful. How is God going to work that out? Well, let's go to the Oprah answer. Right, here's the Oprah answer, which is the religious answer, which is everything outside the gospel. If you work hard enough, God will accept you. If you just do the things, if you would just do what God says, if you would just meet the standard, if you would just get your life together, then God will accept you. And we can't get there. Why? Because the gospel answer is God accepts you and I in Jesus, then out of that acceptance we work. It flips it totally on its head. But the problem is the culture, the world can only give us that one answer. Seek the energy in your hands. Work really hard. Don't go to God with your problem. Seek it. Notice. Seek it in yourself. That only ends one way. Alienated from God and no relationship with him. Imagine Imagine instead of wasting our time and energy searching for answers from the world, we believe that God alone gives them. Imagine if after believing that truth, we went straight to seeking God for those answers. And imagine a life that would orbit around knowing that God delights to help his kids, that God delights to work things out for us, that God delights to give us the directions that we said, I don't really need them. So whatever it is this morning, whatever you walked in here with, God alone has your answer. Will you seek him for it? If you do, worship will follow. And then God maintains his place, his rightful place, as the one who receives our worship and praise. So we're going to continue to do that as we turn to the Lord's Supper. And please know that you parents are the arbiters of faith in your children. So you are the ones who decide now who partakes and who doesn't. If you know, best as you can tell, that they know Jesus, they're welcome to the table under your guidance. But if you are here, or if they are here and they don't know Jesus, please, you eat and drink condemnation on yourself if you partake in an unworthy manner. But for us that do know that from the gospel, you already have the answer. The rest of life is just working that answer out in all the different areas of life. And so as we sit there with the emblem of the body and the emblem of the blood, here's my prayer. And I wrote it down. Father, let me seek you for the help I need and let it lead to your glory. So when you're ready, go ahead and grab the elements, bring them back to your seat, and we'll take them together here in a minute. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread. He gave thanks and he broke. He said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took a cup. And he said, this is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. Father, let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for having the instructions, as it were. Thank you for being always ready to give us the help we need. And I pray, Father, that in all the ways that we walked in here this morning, needing you to show up, needing you to do what only you could do, I ask that you would do that for us. And that the tenor of our lives, the rhythm of our lives, would be such that we sought you daily for the answers that only you can give. And we thank you for meeting us there. For Jesus' sake, amen.